So when we launched in March, we focused on the sixth dimension, and we really hit those basic principles that are contained in the sixth dimension free academy. And those are posted, and people can go get them, and you can guide them to them. But the free academy is a way that they can get those. Then when we got going further, thank you, Sam. That's perfect. Then we launched with the first dimension. So the first dimension is health. Whoops, excuse me. Yeah, health. Health, wellness, and physical fitness. Hence, we got into the discussion about the healthy lifestyles study, the study we're just talking about. There's health. Second month, so last month during the month of May, we focused on the second dimension. So here's the x-axis, longevity, length, and that's health for me. And then the second month, then we focused on intellect, and that's the y-axis. Whoops. Or height. Now we get into the z-axis, or social, emotional, and relationship fitness. Now, John and Cammie, you spend a lot of time here with people on social, emotional, and relationship fitness. Sometimes it's not easy for people to see the connection between that and these two. Social and relationship, they see the connection with, but not necessarily what the connection with emotional and social and relationship is. Let's not jump into that connection first, but John, just talk to me about the importance of emotional fitness from your experience.
Well, that's the main thing that we focus on is that when we work with people, we work on trapped emotions, things that they've had all their life that they've never realized that are negative, that are trapped, they're stuck emotionally in moving forward. If you're not able to break through or have those emotions understood or released or helped with, that blocks you basically for everything else. You are basically a bundle of emotions.
We are a bundle of emotions. You're exactly right. John, in fact, often when we talk about the persuasion side, when we look at some of the things that we teach in Griffin Hill, we talk about, well, we did this in cognition. You know, we've got that upper right where Cammie is the revolutionary, and the lower left, which is all about order and rules, and this dichotomy. And yet, there's the lower right side that's all about emotion that balances that vision and the rules and order. Emotion can provide a balance there. We are a bundle of emotions. We also talk about in persuasion, which is it? Is it better to make a reasoned argument or an emotional argument? And the answer is, of course, it depends. But really, it doesn't. We make emotional arguments. But the key is if the audience thinks of themselves as highly intellectual, or they think of themselves as highly educated, we make intellectual arguments, reasoned arguments that are emotional. That's exactly the key. It's all about emotion here. And John, I love the way you talk about this in terms of trapped emotions. So, Cammie, why don't you dive in and tell us more about trapped emotions? What do we mean by that, and why is it so important?
Well, if you keep feeling the same emotions over and over, discouragement, like you're worthless, insecurity, it's like a dam. You can't you cannot progress until you, it's like a voice you keep hearing in your head. You're worthless, you're a failure. And so if you don't, it keeps you from reaching your potential and from producing, from being productive.
Cammie, absolutely brilliant, and you're exactly right. So now the question is, how does that fit? How does that fit with social and relationship? So John, let me come back to you. We get that emotional dysfunction or trapped emotions that spiral us in a negative way. The woman in the grocery store, I could read these trapped emotions in her, her self-concept, her belief about who she is and her value and her worth, her discouragement and depression. I could read all of that about her just in her behavior and in her outlook. And yet, it's not really her. She is a daughter of a divine being with divine potential, and she's missing it. So, John, how do these two things, our social connections and our relationships, play into our emotions?
Well, if a person, like you say, is trapped with their emotions, they don't feel good about themselves, so they're going to go hide. They're not going to really want to socialize. They're not going to be a part of the human family, which is what the Heavenly Father wants us to be. He wants us to interact. He wants us to uplift each other. And you can't do that when you're down on yourself so much. That's where Satan wants us, is to keep us down, keep us discouraged, keep us feeling like we're worthless. And that's the opposite of what we are. We're all meant to be successful. We're all meant to be happy. And that's interacting. That's helping relate with other of our brothers and sisters. And you do that by socializing and improve your relationships. That's by loving and receiving love. That's what, you know, I think of it like the Savior, you know, ideal as he is, you know, somebody could yell and scream at him. He just turns around and loves. He just has no, you know, he has no trapped emotions. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't hide. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't bother him where he's at, who he's with, because he loves. And that's the power of releasing negative emotions and helping us move forward.
You know, John, I think you really hit some key principles right on the head. And one of the things that you just did for us is connect our emotional well-being, social, emotional, and relationship fitness. You just connected it to the fifth dimension, the spiritual dimension. So let's explore that together for just a moment. In that fifth dimension, the spiritual dimension. Now, again, remember that that in my mind, this is clearly linked to super string theory. It's the way to analyze our realities and our opportunities. So we've talked about length, health. We've talked about height, intellect. We've talked about the z-axis, depth. The depth of meaning that we get in our lives comes from our social, emotional, relationship fitness. But John, you just hit spiritual. In the spiritual dimension, in super string theory, we talk about this in terms of there are two worlds. They are similar and yet different. They exist on a similar plane, but different. And we can measure those differences and we can measure those similarities. And that's exactly the truth, that physicists are more and more being able to measure that there is a reality about this spiritual dimension. Well, when we talk about that spiritual dimension, I recommend that we think about it in terms of three key words: faith, hope, and charity. Those three words are consistent in religious traditions. Faith in a divine, faith that there is a being greater than us, faith that we can connect with that being that is greater than us, faith that there is, in fact, a plan for us. Faith. Hope. hope that there really is a plan for us, hope that we are connected with the divine, charity, that we love others. And John, that's exactly what you said. So in the Judeo-Christian tradition, we often hear about it in terms of the way Jesus was approached by a man of letters and the law, asking him, intending to trap him, "Master, which is the greatest in the law?" And he responded, "The greatest commandment in the law is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength." So to love the divine with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So here we have those three things. Faith, love the divine with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. And then the second is like unto it, love others, love the other as you love yourself. So there we have faith, hope that there's a better world and a better place for us. Hope that we are connected with the divine. Hope that we are acceptable in society to the divine and to our family and others. And charity, love of and for other people. So it just makes this great connectivity as we think about the third dimension, social, emotional, and relationship fitness. So connected with our the spiritual dimension, faith, hope, charity, and love. Well, John, that's what you just said about our emotions. If we get thinking about ourselves in negative ways, Cammie, you just taught us that if we get trapped in a spiral of negative emotion, what does that do to us, Cammie?
Well, we just focus on ourselves, and we can't.
Yeah, we get so focused on ourselves and the horrible existence that we have, that it's perpetually disruptive to our physical health, our emotional health, and our mental health. Cammie, anything else you'd like to say about that?
And it also blocks us, like John brought out, it blocks us from feeling love and
there
giving.
We go. If we're not feeling good about ourselves, can we love other people? There's that social dimension. There's the relationship dimension. John, what you just said is if we're not emotionally healthy, if our self-concept is negative and eroded, if we are stuck in discouragement and depression, if that's where we are, then we run and hide. We hide from other people. The social dimension, we hide from the connections that we hold most dear. That's just profound. So where do we start with sixth dimension?
You asking us? Well, we start with the health in the sixth dimension.
Yeah.
But as far as this and here, we start with helping our emotion.
We're going to help, exactly right. We're going to help, if we're going to help other people, it happens by standing on firm ground. Look, I just shared this story with some of my family members. When I was very young, 16, in high school, we would frequently go up Provo Canyon to various places, but there was this little place called Canyon Glen, still there. And there's a railroad track that goes across. We call it the trestle, goes across the river. Now it's got big fence on both sides. But in those days, it was just the trestle. It was just the railroad tracks. We would climb up the trestle and then dive into the river. Well, this time of year, May and June, the river runs very, very high. We were having in our classes at our high school, we had a seminary class. Our seminary class had a closing social at this Canyon Glen. It was a breakfast. So we all went up. I helped load the gear and got it all up to the mountain so that we could cook breakfast. And then I went up to the trestle because this is a place that was great fun for me. And I immediately began diving off the railroad tracks into the very, very swift water. So you know what the rivers are like right now. It was very high and very dangerous. There were some girls in our class that were intrigued. They wanted to join in the fun, but the river was running very, very high and very, very fast. And they said, well, we want to try this. And I said, okay, you can try it, but beware. Because as soon as you hit the water, you've got to be swimming for the side because the current is so high and so fast that if you don't start swimming to the side, the instant you hit the water, it'll carry you downstream and you'll be lost. There's nothing we can do to help you. And they said, whoa, wait a minute, that's way scary. I said, okay, you just do this. You jump in, start swimming for the side. If it looks like you're in trouble, I'll jump in and come after you. Immediately, I could see she was in trouble. I did not hesitate. I jumped in immediately after her, and I was able, from my training in Boy Scouts, I was a good Lifesaver Merit Badge awardee, and so I got her to the side. What I could not do, and what I discovered was very, very dangerous, was I couldn't get her out of the water. I had no firm footing underneath me. And so for me to push her out of the water was futile because it just drove me underneath those waves and risked me being lost. And it was only because there were other people on firm footing, firm foundation that could pull her up out of the water that saved us both on that day. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about here. When we talk about faith, hope, and charity, when we talk about someone else needs help, they need rescue, we've got to make sure that we are on firm foundation and footing first. And that firm foundation comes by connectivity with the deity, by freeing those trapped emotions and healing ourselves first. John, if you're not healthy emotionally, can you lift someone else?
No, no way.
No, you're just like I was in that water. So we get the oxygen mask on ourselves first by being connected with the divine, with deity, so that we are on firm footing and firm foundation. And then from that firm foundation, we can lift and elevate and help other people. Good. Anything else you want to say about that, John?
No, that's very well understood. Appreciate it.
Okay. Let me just conclude this by sharing some of the mapping of this dimension of social, emotional, and relationship fitness. Number one, as we've talked about, it's our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with deity, and then our relationship with ourselves. That's first and second. And then from that strength, then it is our own mental and emotional health. So first, our relationship with the divine. Second, our relationship with ourselves. And third, our own emotional and mental well-being. Those are the first three aspects of this dimension. From there, we can then go to number four, communicating with other people, our ability to ask good questions, our ability to listen, our ability to drill down so that we're connected with them in a meaningful way. So this connectivity with others, by listening to them, is number five. And then finally, number four. Finally, number six, our relationship and connectivity with others. So with that in mind, let me just kind of map out where we're going. Next week, you're going to want to be on time, no later than right at 7 o'clock. We're going to start with a quiz, a 20-question quiz that will help you, a survey, that will help you to know about your relationship with others. This particular quiz is highly predictive. Here's what we're going to get out of this. What we know is that the results of this quiz are predictive about these six things. Number one, people who score high on this quiz tend to do better than other people when faced with difficulty and challenge. Social emotional relationship fitness. When we are socially, emotionally, and relationship fit, we will tend to do better than other people when confronted with difficulty and challenges. Number two, people who do well on this quiz prove to be resilient and able to moderate the effects of stress. Number three, people who do well on this survey, this quiz, have a stronger sense of self-control over their lives. Delightful. Number four, they have higher self-esteem. Number five, they believe that their family functioned successfully. And number six, they felt like they belong to something more important than just themselves. That's where we're going to start next week. We're going to start with this quiz and some great research around it and how we can develop that in ourselves. As a result, become more socially, emotionally, and relationship fit just by one key activity. And that's going to be really a cornerstone for us next week. The following week, 2 weeks from tonight, we will focus on what I call identifying and correcting toxic and corrosive behaviors. This is particularly in relationship to those we love most, those that are nearest to us. It is with spouse and children, or with children with parents, that we are more inclined, more likely to let down our social, emotional, and relationship fitness guard and to engage in behaviors that are toxic and corrosive to our relationships. So that's going to be 2 weeks from tonight. With either one of these will be great opportunities to invite others to come and participate as we engage in the quiz, to evaluate ourselves, and then learn just one key strategy that will help all of us to do better on all six of those dimensions that we just talked about. And then 2 weeks from tonight, toxic and corrosive behaviors, how to identify them and how to correct them so that we strengthen our relationships. All right, take just a moment, reflect and write. We've talked about tonight that we're launching now into our social, emotional, and relationship fitness. We've talked about the importance of emotional health and that we sometimes find ourselves with trapped emotions that degrade us. They erode us. They erode us emotionally. They erode our self-confidence and our self-concept, and they do damage and harm to our social and relationship fitness. We've talked about that connection in relationship to the fifth dimension, our spiritual fitness, and the importance of being able to be grounded first so that we then can help other people. And the way we get grounded is we get connected with the divine, with deity, so that we stand on firm footing. And from that position, we can elevate and lift and help others around us through our social and relationship contacts. Okay, take a moment, reflect, and write. Where did you hear an idea that was important to you? Maybe it was about one of our upcoming topics next week as we talk about ways to elevate our performance around six important aspects by just engaging one topic. Or maybe it was about toxic and corrosive behaviors, how to identify them and correct them. What stood out to you? Reflect and write. Let's see, Sydney, Susanna, after you've had a chance to reflect and write, we'll start with you. One thing that stood out to you tonight.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, so for me right now, I feel like I am really trying to be, you always talk about being a product of the product, and that's something that I feel like has kind of gone to the wayside a little bit, and I feel like that's when I get really frustrated with my life and feel really discouraged, I guess. And so right now I'm just focused, you know, as much as I'm trying to share and do all of these other things, my primary focus is on what are my goals? What am I trying to accomplish? What do I want to be? And I find that it's really just helping me to be centered again. So it's just a good reminder for me.
I love it. You're spot on. Exactly right. Well said. Thank you. Cammie, what about you?
Well, this is kind of strange, but what came to my mind was Johnny Lingo, the 10 cal wife. And really, that's the way we're seen by, you know, by our Heavenly Father. And so, you know, we let these other things get in the way, and it does, it blocks us from feeling that love from deity, from others, and from giving it. And so I think that's our role, really, in this life is, the second greatest commandment is to let others feel that love through us.
Cammie, I love it. And again, to both of those responses, I think this connection tonight, social, emotional, relationship fitness, and spiritual fitness are spot on. That, Sydney, as you described, the beginning place of getting centered, getting the oxygen mask on ourselves, is really when we talk about strengthening a weakened will, and we talk about that in the health dimension, there are those four elements, and the fourth one is gratitude. But really, it might be the first, as we first get connected with deity. So whenever we're doing this reset, we talk about get healthy. That's the start place of the reset. But you can only get healthy if your connectivity with deity is right first. What's the first and greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor. How? As yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. You can't help and lift and elevate your neighbor. So really, Cammie, I think of loving yourself as the second 2A, and loving others as 2B. So as we learn to get centered, start there with our emotional fitness, and that comes with our connectivity with deity. Delightful. Thank you very much.